Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Hallelujah. I want you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. I want you to know around Tuesday, I started working on this morning's message. And I had it about halfway done, and I was, Pastor Steve and I were talking, as a matter of fact, and we were talking about the service, and he said, "You started on the message." I said, "I got it halfway done, but it's all right." Now, if you've never prepared a message, you don't kind of really understand what I'm saying. I thought, it's okay. It's a good word. It's okay. And then Wednesday, I went for a run. And it started getting on me. And then Thursday, I went for another run. And God messed me up Thursday morning. And I came in, we had a few things to get done, and stayed here late that evening trying to get the message together. Completely different message that I was prepared to preach. And I'm telling you that there is a word in my spirit this morning that if I can get it out, I believe it's going to change and transform some lives. I believe that. I'm not doing that for an applause. I'm just telling you that you need to set yourself ready. You need to decide, God, this word is for me. If it's anywhere, let me tell you something. I got to hurry. I know I'm time conscious. But I remember when I accepted the call to preach. Let me just tell you how that happened real quickly. I began feeling the call to preach, but I really didn't want to because I didn't like people, and I didn't like people, and I didn't like church people. And so I really didn't want to do that. But there, I was at a prayer meeting one night. Matter of fact, it was the same night that the Lord showed Sherry that I was to be her husband. But we were at this prayer meeting, and there were so many things that were going on in this prayer meeting. And there was a message given out in tongues and an interpretation that said something about, "I've called you to preach," so forth, so on. And I remember saying, "Lord, if you really," when this was about 10 minutes later, I said, "Lord, if you really want me to preach," I know that message that was given out was about 10, maybe 10 of us in there. I said, "I know that there was a message given out about the call of God, but God, I'm just not sure. God, I don't want to do that if you're not that called me to do it." So I said, "God," and let me just be careful when you fleece the Lord. But I said, "God, if you would just let," I got a lot of confidence in my cousin Betty. I call her Aunt Betty. She's older than I am. I said, "Lord, if you would just let Aunt Betty say anything about preaching or call, then I'll know that that call is for me." Because matter of fact, there were two other preachers in the group that I was in. And matter of fact, they're pastoring today too. And I said, "Lord, if you just say anything about preaching, I'll know it's for me." And we was walking around, and you know how we Pentecostals do. We kind of pace and pray, and we was kind of walking like this. And the next thing I know, everybody kind of stopped. And Aunt Betty turned around and looked at me and pointed her finger in my face. She didn't hear what I prayed, but she pointed her finger in my face and she said, "Ronnie Reed, thus says the Lord. I've called you once. I've called you twice. Now this is the thrice. I'm calling you three times. Will you preach my word?" And I went into a fetal position because it freaked me out. And I began to, and so I said, "Okay, God, you can't get much plainer than that." And there are some of us who needs it plain today, but I want some of you just to go, "God, if this is the least little bit for me, I'm going to receive it. And I'm going to receive it with gladness." Let me get on. I got a lot to say and a little time to do it. I want to talk to you. I started a series called "Ain't Nobody Got Time for That." And I started to play Sweet Brown's video again today. We played it 3 weeks ago, but I don't have time for that. But you, most of you, many of you that are under 50 know what I'm talking about. And for those that was in church 4 weeks ago, you've seen it, and it's a great little slide. But I preached on, ain't nobody got time for that. Don't waste your life. Then 2 weeks ago I preached, ain't nobody got time for that. Don't listen to the lies. And then last week, I hope you don't think that I'm not appreciative. I thank you so much for the pastor appreciation and honoring me and my wife and family. Thank you so much. It meant the world to us, and you just blessed us. My wife and I sat down and read every card, read every letter. We thank you so much. We prayed over every correspondence that we received, and thank you so much that we appreciate that. But I don't want you to think that I'm not appreciative, but I've got something in my spirit I got to get out. And so today I want to talk about, ain't nobody got time for that. Don't just sit there in despair. Don't just sit there. And now, and I am a responsive preacher. You say amen, and that helps me, right? And if you don't say amen, I'm going to preach an hour and a half. Come on, somebody. And so here's the thing. When I say ain't nobody got time for that, I want you just to respond, don't just sit there. So let's try it. Ain't nobody got time for that. There you go. Don't just sit there. Go with me to the book of Daniel chapter 4. I'm going to read a scripture and a half just to kind of throw us in here. Daniel chapter 4, verse number 14. If you're there, say amen. Here's what he says. And he cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Now some of you go, I don't want to be that tree. And the problem is some of us are already that tree. Cut down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, here we go. Nevertheless, leave the stump. Leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and brass. Leave the stump. Father, help me preach this word today in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. There, I almost went over to a house that I used to own, that I used to live in, and to take a picture of this because it's still there today. There's a tree that I have cut down all the way down to just where a little stump was left. I've done it 4 times. And today it is blooming and it is all over the place and I need to cut it again. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying I cut it down, but I didn't cut the stump. I cut it down, but I didn't cut the roots. See, this story that we've just, or this, let me tell you the story, because the text that we've just read is about King Nebuchadnezzar. And he had a dream, and he had everything was going great, and his kingdom was prospering, and everybody knew that it was happening there. But he got lifted up in pride, and he had this dream, and nobody could interpret it, so he called Daniel. Daniel came and interpreted, and basically what he was saying was this. He said, you've got lifted up in pride, and God is going to cut down the tree. You are that tree. And here is where we pick up the story up, that this was a prophecy over Nebuchadnezzar's life. God said, you're going to go through a season in life where God is going to bless you beyond your understanding, beyond your capacity. He is going to take you through a season that, man, you can't even imagine, and you're just going to be blessed. But there is also going to come a time that God is going to cut the tree down. Now, many of us, every one of us, like the first part. We don't like the second part. But here's what God says. I won't leave you without something. I won't leave you completely desolated. I won't leave you without something. There will just be a stump left of what you used to be. There's only going to be a stump left of what you used to be. There will be a stump left, and there will come a day that I will visit that stump. I'm going to cut it down to the stump, but there's coming a day that I'm going to visit the stump. Every time I would cut that tree down, you could look out there and you could see all it was a stump. But now today you come, you go there, and I was there just a few weeks ago, and you can't even see the stump because of everything that's grown out of the stump and around the stump. And so some of you feel like that you're the stump, but God is saying, I'm going to revisit the stump again. You got to recognize that God is not going to leave you with nothing. He's going to leave you with something. Our God is the God of everything. Can you say amen? He's the God of everything you got. But as equally as important, hear me, He's also the God of everything you've lost. He's the God of everything you have, and He's the God of everything that you've lost. But there is another element to the statement. Another element to the statement, and many forget about this, that God is the God of what you got. He's the God of what you lost, and He's the God of what you've got left. He's the God of what you've got left. God will never take you, or will allow you, or will take from you, or allow the enemy to take from you without leaving you something that He can build on. Something that He can bring something out of. Something that it will not desolate you, but it will be something that He can build on. You may feel as like everything has been taken from you. Anybody there? That whether it has been sickness, whether it's been health, whether it's been wealth, whether it's been relationships, it doesn't matter, because God has left you something. In our text, God left the stump. And God would never take from you without leaving you something. God would never let the enemy take from you without leaving you something. The tree was chopped down, but notice the stump was left. God says, I'm the Lord of what you've lost, and I'm the Lord of what you have, and I'm the God of what you've got left. God says, I am your God. Nevertheless, the Lord said, leave the stump. And out of the stump, I'm going to cause things to come out of what you've got left that will produce what you need for your future and for your purpose. Ain't nobody got time for that. Don't just sit there. Don't just bump your neighbor and say, don't just sit there. Don't sit there in your despair. My God, help me, Jesus. The stump is saying to hell, you cannot take everything. The stump is saying to hell, you can take this, you might can take that, you can scatter the fruit, you can strip the leaves, but you got to leave something. There's something that I've got to have in order to rebuild on. My God, have mercy, Jesus. You can have it. You can have this, but you got to leave something. You only take so much. If God lets you lose everything, it's His vote. You didn't need it to fulfill His purpose in you anyway. In life, or sickness, or death takes from you and your family, God always uses what's left. While you're lamenting over what's lost, God is saying, I'm going to use what's left. You're wondering, why did you lose it? God said, quit looking on what you lost and let's look on what you got left. What do you have left? My God, help me, somebody. Noah understood this principle. He understood that if God needed the wicked society for His plan to be accomplished, he wouldn't have wiped them out. But He did. That wasn't the miracle. The miracle was not in the vanishing of a whole society, but the miracle was in the eight that was left. The eight that was left in the ark, because God is the God of what's left. So don't just sit there and grumble about what was taken from you. Evaluate what's left. Evaluate what's left. What you got left? Pastor, ain't nothing left. You've got something left. Because let me tell you this. Anyone who arrived somewhere had to start where they were. You gotta start where you are. Not where you ought to be, not where you should be. No, you know, I'm going to get better. No, today is the day to get better. God says, I will bless you sovereignly with what's left. Lamenting and grumbling over what you lost is not going to help you. Ain't nobody got time for that. So don't just sit there. He's going to use what left. Point number one is this. Satan received a permission note from God to attack Job. We know the story. Satan said to God, the only reason he serves you is because of your blessing on his life. You have blessed him so much, of course he would bless you. He would serve you. Satan said, you've got a hedge up and I cannot touch him. And who wouldn't serve you if all of this was going your way? Look at all of his possessions. And so God says, okay, all right. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. He said, I'm going to let you take down hedge one, but I'm going to put up hedge two. I'm going to let you take his stuff, but you can't touch his body, because God will leave you something left. Are you hearing me? He said, I'll let you touch his body, touch his stuff, but you can't touch his body. So we know that happened. And then he came back and said, well, you know, that wasn't enough. If you would let me touch his body, then he would curse you to your face. And God said, okay, you can take his stuff, but you can't touch his body. So God says, all right. So I'm going to let you take now his cattle, his sheep, his health, his wealth, and all of his business, and wipe him out. And Job still stands and says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the next chapter, in chapter 2, Job, the Satan says, well, if you let me attack his body, make him sick, he'll curse you to your face. God says, okay, if that's the way you want to play, I'm going to take down hedge number 2. However, I'm going to put up hedge number 3. He said, you can take his stuff, you can touch his body, but you can't take his breath. Because God will always leave you with something. Look at your neighbor and say, God will always leave you with something. God will leave you with something. What do you have left? You can't touch his body, but you can't take his breath. So anytime, I want you to catch this. Anytime one hedge comes down, another hedge comes up. Anytime one hedge comes down, God puts another hedge up. To be upset over what you don't have is to waste what you do have. What do you have left? Do I have that slide, Steve? Yeah. To be upset over what you don't have is to waste what you do have. Whatever you have left is enough to create anything else that God promised you. Is what you got left. It's what you've got left that's going to frustrate the devil's plan. When the devil thought he had you, but you still got something left. What do you have left? Let me just ask you this. Do you have anything left? Do you have a praise left? Do you have a shout left? Do you have any joy left? Do you have any dreams left? Is there any hope left? Don't just sit there, because ain't nobody got time for that. You don't just sit there in despair. You've got something left. So evaluate, what do you have left? There's still a stump. What did Job have left after he lost his resources? He lost his help. He lost his friends. His wife turned on him. What did he have left? I'll tell you what he had left. He had confidence and he had faith, and he had the confidence and faith in God to say this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He knows that God is too good to abandon him forever. My God, somebody hear me. God's too good just to leave me alone. Oh, he's too good to abandon me. I know that morning may endure for the night, but my joy, I know it's going to come. He's too good to abandon me. He's too precious to leave me. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And we know that God gave him double for his trouble. God's going to bring me out as pure gold, so I'll praise his name forever. God's going to use what's left. I don't have anything left but the breath in my body and this nagging wife that you gave me, God. However, I know that somehow, some way, you're going to bring it back. Point number two is this, that God told Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver my people in Judges chapter 6. In chapter 7, God said to Gideon, I'm going to or 6, he said, I'm going to use you. In chapter 7, 32,000 men came to fight against 135,000 men. And in chapter 7, God says to Gideon, you have 32,000 men, and that's too many for me to give you the victory. So tell you what, whoever is scared, let him go home. 22,000 men left with 10,000 now. God said, you still got too many. 9,700 go through another test and fail. So in Judges 7, verse number 7, the Bible says, by these that remain shall I deliver the Midianites into your hand. By what you have left. Did you catch it? By what, by the men that is left, by what you've got left is what God's gonna, is what, how's God gonna deliver you. Why did God keep reducing the men down? Because God wants to one more time show us that He's the God of what we have left, not just of what we lost. He could have lamented. I know me. If I would have been there, I'd have been over in the corner somewhere crying and asking God, why did 32 or 31,700 men leave? And why'd you just leave me with 300 men? There ain't no way we can do this. But God didn't say. God said, I want you to know that I'm going to use what's left to bring a victory in your life. You've got to recognize that the devil could have killed you if God had not have put up a hedge. You could have lost seriously everything, but God put up a hedge. You're here today, so therefore you've got something left. He's the God of what's left. He's the God of what's left. Don't worry about what you lost. I'm going to use what's left. So don't just sit there. Samson lost everything. He lost his anointing. He lost his reputation. He lost his privilege. He lost his influence. He lost the girl. He lost the freedom. He lost his hair. He lost all. He lost his vision. But God said, the miracle is not in what you've lost. It's in what you've got left. And I love Judges 16:22, because there he is, forgotten. There he is, who he's a has-been. Nobody remembers him anymore. He's down in the dungeon grinding the wheat. He's just on a grinder. That's all he does every day. Can you imagine the monotony of every day, every morning? What you got to look forward to is they're going to chain you to a wheel and you're going to walk around in circles, mindlessly just walk around in circle. But glory to God, in Judges 16:22, the Bible said, but yay, though his hair began to grow again, God began to do something. God said, I left you something, Samson. They thought you're done. They thought you were out. But heaven, what you've got left is going to frustrate hell. Hell thought they had you out. Hell thought they had you done. Hell thought that they could cross your name out. But God said, I've left a stump there. And out of that stump, I'm going to bring forth great joy. Out of that stump, I'm going to bring forth great victory. You've just got to believe it. So he began. And so don't just sit there. Don't just sit there, church. Do you know where God begins the miracle? Up here in your head. I love it. Judges 16:22. His hair began to grow again. That's where the miracle begins. It's got to get here. Some folks go, well, no, Pastor, it's got to start here. No, it's got to get here first. Because here has an effect on here. Once you get it in your mind, once you get it in your mind, that it's not over. It's not over. It's not finished. Ah, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. It's not. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't over. It ain't over. You still got something left. Huh? So Samson's hair began to grow, and you know the story. Restoration begins in your head as you feel it. Here we go. As you fill it with the promises of God. Say, God, you're still the God of what I have left. And I refuse to crawl in a hole and die. I believe that you will bring goodness to me in the land of the living. Point number 3 is this. Moses used the ashes. What do you mean, Pastor? In Exodus chapter 9, verses 8. The Bible tells us that God told Moses to take ashes from the furnace and throw them toward heaven. And the Bible said that God touched it and a and from two handfuls of ashes, ashes fell on all of Egypt. Now think about this. What are ashes? Ashes are what you have left when you've been through the fire. You missed a good time to shout. Ashes are what's left when you've been through the trial. Ashes are what's left when stuff's been burned up. When you've tried, but your try wasn't good enough. Ashes are what's left when you did every, when you tried to save your marriage, but it still went south. Ashes is what it is when you tried your best to do what was right, but still got stung and still got beat down and beat up. Ashes is what you've got left. God says that if you'll take what you've got left, if you'll take the ashes of what I, my God, if you'll take the ashes of what I've done in your life, if you'll take those ashes, if you'll take the ashes of your dreams, the ashes of your hopes, the ashes, if you'll just take what's left and throw them upward to me. Throw them Godward. Oh God, I raised my children. I raised my children, but now they're not serving God. Take those ashes and throw them upward. God, I've lost my business. Take those ashes. I've lost my joy. Take those ashes. Lord, I've lost my hope. Take those ashes and throw them Godward. And God says, give me what you've got left. Throw it Godward. When Moses took that two handfuls of ashes and threw it, God touched it. And when it came down, two handfuls of ashes covered all of Egypt and afflicted the Egyptian army with boils over their whole entire body. God said, I'll use what you have left. If you'll take that fiery trial, if you'll take that frustration, if you'll take that thing that you can't, my God, if you take that thing, how many know what I'm talking about that you can't even articulate? What's wrong? I'm not sure. I don't even know. I don't even understand why I'm in the funk that I'm in. I don't even understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. Lord, I've looked around and I hadn't done any bad sins. I don't understand why I'm in what I've got. Take those ashes and throw them upward. That's what happened. Listen, David, when he lost his house, he lost his family in Ziklag. Remember that story? He prays and asks God if he should go after them. And God says, go and strike them down and you will retake everything. So Moses or David just strikes out because he don't even know where they went. He don't know which way they went. And the Bible said he starts out and he came upon an Egyptian man that had been a servant of an Amalekite and fell sick in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And check out the wording. He said, my master left me. God's gonna use what's left. What was left? They took his family. They took his wife. They took his children. They took their riches. They burned the city. Wasn't nothing left. But man, as they began to pursue, there was a man that was left. And that man told them who had attacked them. That man told them where they could find them. And the story goes on that David went and recovered everything. So I'm telling you that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that God always has one more hedge to put up and leaves you with something left behind. Ain't nobody got time for that. Don't just sit there. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Spent all that she had. But there was something she had left. She had determination. She reached out and she touched the hem of the master's garment. And God stopped and said, somebody touched me. How about the woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 when she came to the prophet and said, asked the prophet, listen, she said, my husband has died. He was a prophet. He's dead now and I owe bills and they're about to come and take my children. And the prophet said in 2 Kings chapter 4, what do you have left? And she said, I have nothing left save a jar of oil. That's all I got left is a jar of oil. He said, what you've got left is enough to bring you victory. What do you have left? She said, the creditors have come. He said, no matter. What do you got left? I've got a jar of oil. If all you want to do is talk about what you've lost, then the prophetic gift won't work. But if you want to talk about what you got left, and you put it in the hand of the prophetic God, and let him begin to let him begin to blow on what's left. Let him begin to rain down on what's left. Let him begin to hover over what's left. Let him do what he does over what's left. If you will take what you have left and get it under the prophetic gift of the prophet Elijah, then what you have left is enough to produce all that you need for the future. Oh, I gotta quit. I gotta quit. All right, let me just give you one more. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Some of you know that story. It's the story of the prophet Ezekiel. And the prophet was asked by God. As Ezekiel stood there in chapter 37, and here's what God asked him. God said, Ezekiel! As he looked over this whole vast valley of bones, he said, can these bones live? You know, I'm so thankful that God didn't just put the dudes and the gals in the Word of God who had it all together. I'm glad that he didn't just, that because Ezekiel didn't go, well, of course they can. You're God. He gave an honest answer because he says, God, only you know. God, I don't know. He gave a very honest answer. God, only you know. I don't know if they can live anymore or not. If I go through what I see, no, they can't live. They're gone. It's done. It's just over with. It's not. What's left? What's left is only bones. Dry bones. Maybe picked clean by the buzzards. What's left? Just the dry bones. But can these bones live? And he says, like, Lord, I don't know. God help me. So I don't know, God. I don't know if anything can be salvaged or not. I don't know if anything's left. He said, Lord, I know one thing. I don't have any faith right now. I wish I could speak over these and I wish I could speak over these and say, yes, it can live, but I don't know, God. Only you know. He said, but one thing I do know, I don't have any faith right now. I don't know if they can live. God, I don't have any passion. I don't know, God. I don't even really believe, God. But you, Lord, you know. I don't know. I thought I did. Once I did. If you'd have asked me a year ago, if you'd have asked me 3 minutes ago, if you'd have asked me before I went through my loss, if you would have asked me, I would have said yes. But I said yes so many times, and it didn't happen. And so, God, I don't even know. I don't know, God, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know if there's any hope for this, I don't know. I don't know if there's any, is there, do you have anything left in you? I don't know, God, I don't know. I don't know. I remember when I used to be anointed. I remember when I used to have faith. I remember when I used to do what is right. I remember when I used to, I remember what I lost. I remember what I used to be. But now that all that's left is what I am. What I am is what's left. I don't know if you caught that. What I am is what's left. What I am is what's left. And God says, good, because I'm the God of what's left. I'm the God of what's left. I'm not the God of who you used to be. I'm not the God of who I want you to be. I am the God of who you are. I don't know, God, I don't know. I don't know if this dream can ever live. I don't know if this marriage can ever be rebuilt. I don't know if my faith will ever come back. I don't know if my passion will ever return. I don't know. And God says, I want you to go there with me. Ezekiel, I want us all to see this. I know I'm supposed to be done, but I'm all right. If you got to go, I understand, but I can't. Kedalabo Sotorossi. chapter 37 of Ezekiel. Verse 3 says, he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. I don't know. Lord, only you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then verse number 5. Now I want you to notice in verse number 4, he says, again. Again, he's already told him to do it once, he didn't do it. So again he said to me, prophesy. Verse number 5. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Verse 6. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, covered you with skin, and I put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Now verse 7 is paramount. Verse 7. So, all I could do was do what I was commanded. All that I could do was obey. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I want you to catch it. All I could do was do what he said do. All I could do, I prophesied as I commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly there was a rattling. And bones came together, bone to bone. God said, prophesy. Now here is Ezekiel. Without faith, no real passion to be there. I don't know if there anything is going to happen, but Lord, you know, I sure don't. He didn't say, Lord, I sure they will. He said, God, I don't know. So what does he have left? God says, use what you have left, and all that I have left is just to obey. Lord, I'm just going to do what you say do. Hear me, church. God says, will you do what I've said do? Just obey. But pastor, I don't have any passion. I didn't ask you about your passion. I didn't ask you about your faith. I didn't ask you. I just said, will you do? Speak the word to your situation anyway, even if you don't have any faith. Speak the word of God to your situation, even if you don't have any passion. Sometimes all you got left is obedience. I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling any chill bumps. I'm not hearing any angels sing. Do what he commanded. Nobody's giving me a word. All I'm doing is what God told me to do. I don't know why I try. I don't even know why I come to church sometimes. I'm just going through the motions. Do what God told you to do. Pastor, I don't have any passion. Do what the Lord has told you to do. Because you see, we understand that obedience is better than sacrifice. I like to feel the passion. I like to sense the presence and the nearness of God. I love to sense His presence. I love to feel the doodads having races up and down my spine. But sometimes you just got to do what God said do, because ain't nobody got time to just sit there in despair. Do what you know to do. All I'm doing is what God told me to do. It's all I've got left, and as he did, as he was commanded, the bones begin to come together. Life filled those dead bones, and an army stood up, and vision came to pass. Do you have anything left? What do you have left? Whatever you have left is enough. All I got is a stump. Well, glory to God. Whatever you have left is what God's going to use to give you something you don't have. Whatever you have left is what God wants you to give Him this morning. What do you have left? What do you have left? Holy Spirit of God, what do you have left? Whatever you have left is what God wants you to bring Him. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. What do you have left? I'm not asking you this morning. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm not asking you this morning to bring your faith. Do you remember the man who was sick and they heard that Jesus was in the house and four of his friends came over, couldn't get him in, tore off the roof and let him down. And Jesus said, by their faith, you shall be made whole. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning. I'm not going to ask you who's lost your faith, who's just lost your passion. I'm not going to ask you that. I'm just going to ask you, just bring what you got left. Pastor, I've been through a divorce. Bring what's left. Pastor, I've been through addiction. Bring what's left. I've been through trial. I've been through grief. Bring what's left. I've been through the loss of a loved one. Bring what's left. God is saying to you, I am the God of what's left. Pastor, I've messed up and wished I would have made some wiser choices. I just can't get over my past. Bring what's left. God is saying, what do you have left? Don't just sit there, because ain't nobody got time for that. Don't just sit there. This morning, I'm not going to ask you what it is you've lost. But if this message spoke to any area of your life, I want you to step out now and join me down here.
Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.